Welcome to the show Business Rumbler, where we discuss and learn new skills, mindsets, strategies, and other useful tools on how to start and operate a business. My goal on this podcast is to make business education accessible to everyone and to create business community that will help cultivate an entrepreneurial mentality and mindset for everyone interested. While you're listening to this podcast, I recommend you to make some notes. It is better if you have access to paper and a pen. However, if you prefer making notes on your phone or tablets, that's perfect as well. If you get lost or overloaded, you can always refer to the transcript of each episode. For those of you who are experienced enough to find these episodes quite basic, I recommend you to stick to this sequence anyway, because complexity will gradually increase over time.
I know that the majority of you are not in sales and may have never been involved in it. However, in this episode, I will try to make it as simple as possible so that even someone with zero experience in sales can close their first deal. Most of you will not be successful at the very beginning, but trust me, you will improve after a certain amount of repetition. I cannot specify the exact number of repetitions needed for each person, as it is uniquely individual, but I will do my best to provide you with the most proven techniques known in the business world. So, let's get started. By this point, I hope you have walked through the particular steps and you are now ready to perform your first sale. So far, we have discussed a little bit of mindset, the basics of market analysis, how to choose a niche and target audience, testing hypothesis and their cycles, how your offer should look like, and what a unique sales proposition is. My assumption is that by this moment you have done your homework and have about 10 unique sales propositions. It would be perfect if you have started to test them, and even better if you have your first leads or potential clients. Now we come to the moment when we need to sell your product or service. Before we dive deeper into sales, I would like you to view sales as a game of refusals and objections. You will encounter many objections, and there is nothing wrong with that. If you receive very few refusals and objections, there are only two possible scenarios. Either one, you're lucky, which means you have performed your previous preparations quite well, or you're deceiving your clients. At the very beginning, you must start selling your goods to clients yourself, especially if you are limited in budget and maybe want to become better acquainted with your client, perhaps both. This approach is quite beneficial because if you are limited in budget, you will get to know your clients better, understand their objections, and modify your product to meet their needs. My praise goes to those who have done this on purpose because it will allow you to think one step ahead. At this very moment, I want to take a small step aside and discuss the topic of delegation. You have only 24 hours during which you are supposed to sleep, spend some private time with your loved ones, work out, or do whatever else you need to do. As I mentioned at the very beginning, you should handle your first sales by yourself. However, if you truly want to grow your business, DIY, or in other words, do it yourself, is a nightmare for an entrepreneur. DIY is the evil you should avoid by any means available. Since each of us has only 24 hours in a day, you have to learn to use your time wisely. Imagine you need 1 hour to perform a particular task, such as meeting with your prospect or potential client, in other words. If you have 5 meetings like this, it will take 5 hours out of your day. Instead, you could hire a suitable sales specialist to do this work for you. Roughly speaking, now you have 24 hours in a day plus an extra 5 hours. Your productivity level increases. Now, imagine you have a sales team of 10. I hope you can see how important it is to delegate a certain amount of your errands to other people. We're going to discuss more about delegating responsibilities in future episodes. Now let's go back to sales. Simply speaking, there are 4 kinds of sales. First one, deception, where you mislead your client on purpose or maybe by accident. Second one, exchange with a shortfall, where you give less value than what it is worth.
Third one,
equal exchange, which I think needs no explanation. And the last one, I want you to stick as the beneficial exchange, where the client receives more value than he or she paid for. Beneficial exchange is like saying, hey, here are a couple of gifts because you're our client. In perfect scenario, I want you to aim for the last one. You want to make your client happy, which results in a higher chance of them returning. When you start to play the refusal and objection game, I want you to imagine yourself as a hunter and your potential client as a prey. What are the common reactions in nature of chased animals? They try to hide, to run, or pretend to be dead. I want you to imagine yourself as the prey as well. Imagine you have an intrusive salesman on the other side of a phone call, and you know who is exactly calling. It is quite normal that you would not want to pick up the phone, knowing that the person on the other side is going to persuade and cajole you. This is you, hiding. Or you might be having a conversation with a sales manager when you come into the store to buy something, and they keep asking you questions which you don't want to answer. In this case, you may just walk away from the store or reply to their questions in a languid manner. This is you running away or pretending to be dead. So now you have a picture from both points of view. If you have ever met a professional and experienced salesman, when you refuse to buy and object after they have tried every trick in their arsenal, they do not lament or get depressed. Instead, a simple thought emerges in their head. Okay, waiting for the next one. Sometimes, literally, hundreds of times a day, thousands during a week. I understand that mentally we are all different, and for your psychology it might be quite challenging. However, I strongly recommend you to go through this process and try to handle sales by yourself. When you make your first attempt, you might be lucky and your lead will become your customer. However, most of the time, that's not the case. I suggest you follow three simple steps. First, make as many repetitions as you can. Second, conduct a quick analysis after every conversation or phone call. Try to analyze what you said wrong and what you should change. Test different approaches. Third, be courageous. Be prepared to accept refusals and be ready to work with objections. By the way, I want to mention that sometimes you will encounter completely inappropriate behavior. Some people just act weird. Sometimes it happens. Don't take it personally and simply finish the conversation. Keep your disposition polite and calm. Most people are afraid of getting refusals. However, my suggestion for you would be stick to the call, Zoom meeting or personal meeting, whatever you have, until the end. While you're performing your first sales, your goal is to get as many refusals as you can. Better if it would be around 100, especially if your sales channels are phone calls or Zoom meetings. First of all, you get better at understanding your product. Second, you'll get accustomed to receive and work with objections. The majority of clients will throw objections at you. And while you're performing as a sales representative of your own company, you have to learn how to handle them. If you have been working in sales even for a short period, I think you're understanding what I'm talking about. You might be surprised, but some introverts often do better in sales than extroverts. In the previous episode, we discussed 5 key client benefits: budget, earnings, guarantees, prestige, and logic. When you go through a sale, you have to approach your prospect through these key benefits. While you talk with a client, try to speak less about how great you are and your company is, because the client doesn't want to hear about you. They want to hear about themselves. When someone hears something like, "We are number one in the market," or "We have more than 10 years of experience," blah, 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 and stuff like that. Oh my God, it's so tedious. People don't want to hear that. People want to hear what you talk about them. It should sound something like, "Okay, I understand it is out of your budget. However, I promise you, I'm going to do my best to provide you with a solution that fits into your budget. Just come into our office and we will discuss it in details and provide you with several options. Or maybe something like this. I understand that delivery took longer than it's supposed to. My apologies. Let me make sure that the next time you buy something from us, you will get a 20% discount and save some money. As you can hear in these short examples, the speech always moves toward the client's needs. Of course, it is very contextual, but I hope I made it clear for you. Look at the conversation with your client as a line separated into three stages: the initial one, the intermediate one, and the final stage. The initial one is simply greetings, small talk, and ice-breaking. The intermediate one is when you describe your product, answer questions, get feedback, and handle objections. The final stage is when the conversation is about to end and you should close the deal. I hope I don't need to explain what greetings are. Small talk and icebreaking involve some human conversations about how your day was, how things are going, and so forth. Quite often, you don't even need to answer. You just like waiting for the blurts like, it's fine, thanks, what about you? But when we get into the intermediate part, we reach the moment when we have to describe the product to the client, all the benefits. And most of the time, you're going to receive objections that you will be left alone to handle. At the very beginning of the stage, you need to ask your client certain questions. These questions may differ depending on your product, service, sales channels, etc. But what all these questions have in common is that you're trying to understand the exact needs or problems of your client. And please, don't let your questions sound like your client is being interrogated by police. Make them light and simple. It may sound something like, okay, Jacob, I understand your concerns, but could you please tell me a little bit more about your experience with that company? In this way, I can better understand what you liked or didn't like about their product, what was helpful and what was not. I'm just going to ask you several questions about your experience. After that, we'll come back to your current situation so we can focus exactly on the blind spot. How does it sound for you? Most of the time, if the client is ready to speak with you, they will probably give you all the information you're looking for. All you need to do is listen. Using this approach, you'll give the client a chance to tell you exactly what they want. A couple of minutes ago, I mentioned feedback, so here's a little trick about it. You'll make a statement, and then immediately use a phrase like, how does it sound? What do you think about it? Does it work for you? For instance, I'm going to send you a confirmation link now, so you can book an appointment right away without any further delay. How does it sound for you? Another example. Got it. My suggestion is to schedule a free consultation on Friday so you can ask all the questions you have and get a clear picture of how we can solve your problem. What do you think about it? From my personal experience, I have noticed that most of the time, people struggle to close the deal because sometimes the only thing you need to do is say, I will send you an invoice for payment now. Please let me know once the payment is processed, and I will guide you through the process, explaining exactly what needs to be done and the workflow in general. Another proven tactic is something like intermediate closing of the deal, which sounds like, after the payment is processed, you will receive the discounted coupon for next purchase, and I will guide you through the workflow and answer all the questions you have. What do you think about it? In this instance, you don't ask the client directly if they are going to pay, but you establish the fact and you make it sound official. In general, you can say whatever you want, as long as you are not lying. I find honest and ethical ways to run a business more attractive. They allow you to run further and experience less trouble, even though sometimes they don't sound very lucrative. Don't sacrifice your freedom for money in the hope that the money will give you the freedom you crave. So basically, when you go through these three stages, you need to understand that during
The first one, it is basically ice-breaking and establishing rapport. During the second one, it is investigating by asking questions that reveal the client's needs. In the last stage, the main goal is to close the deal, simply telling the client to pay for the service or product. There are numerous books, articles, and other works on how to create sales scripts. However, if you dive deeper into it, you will notice that empirically, scripts have proven to be ineffective. Thus, you don't fall into that trap. Just follow the line. There are two general approaches to sales that will align with your personality. The farmer and the hunter. Farmers usually work with the client longer. They plant the seed of trust in the client and give it time to grow, deliberately taking care of it. Then, there are hunters who are like falcons swooping down to catch prey. This tactic usually takes less time. However, it has less time to persuade a client and usually goes from quantity to quality. While farmers usually go from quality to quantity, which one to choose? Always depends on your personality. However, when you're building a sales team, my suggestion would be to have both types of personalities in your team. And remember, it is crucial not to name the price immediately after being asked. You should integrate the price seamlessly into the middle of your sentence, ensuring it is surrounded by context. For example, if a client asks, "How much are you going to charge me?" Your response should be something like, "We're going to provide you with a holistic solution for your house for just $800. In addition, you will receive a free subscription for 2 months. How does it sound for you?" If you notice that it is not just $800 and that's it. I wrapped it into the entire sentence and asked for feedback at the end. Or another example. For this particular item, the price $199. Do you want to pay with a bank card or cash? Another effective technique is to set a deadline for payment. And here's a little example. You have 30 minutes to pay, otherwise the discount will expire. Or, if you have a strong connection with your prospect, you can use something more casual. Like, "During our conversation today, you mentioned you need to pick up your child from school. Could you please make the payment within the next hour? I have kids too, and I need to pick them up from school at 3 p.m. I would greatly appreciate it." This more informal approach can work well and establish a deeper connection between you and your client. Always set a deadline for payment. Clients can sometimes get distracted, and it can be quite challenging to bring them back once they have wandered off. The basic rule here is to use imperatives. Trust me, it works much better than various manipulative tricks. Use politeness combined with imperative phrases, as explained earlier. Be courageous and articulate your instructions, especially when you're giving imperative phrases about payment. If it is not already clear, you need to have a solid understanding of the features, benefits, and advantages of your product or service from the customer's perspective. This knowledge will be very useful in your sales performance. My recommendation is to create a list of at least 10 features, 10 benefits, and 10 advantages. This is the minimum. If you have 20 to 30 for each, it will be much easier to operate during a sales pitch. Most likely, your first sales will not be successful. And that's fine, because you will learn through the process. Set your mind to continue your sales pitch until the client pays, or you end up in a blacklist. Some of you may think, "Oh, I don't want to be that intrusive," but it is not about being intrusive or annoying. It is about learning how to perform sales. It doesn't matter what other people think about you at this moment. Consider a situation where you want to buy a new phone, car, or house, whatever it is. What would you say to yourself? "Oh, I cannot afford it because I didn't want to be annoying or intrusive." Keep that in mind. When you start your sales approach, it should end in a purchase or blacklist. I've said it before and I will say it again. Don't worry about what other people think about you. Focus on the goals you want to achieve. For today's homework, I want you to start making your first sales. Your goal is to collect at least 100 objections. They might be different, they might be the same, but simply go and start making your first sales. Conduct a quick analysis after each conversation and think about what you could say differently. And then practice your differently in the next sales speech. Obviously, your goal is not to get objections, but to get sales. However, you will not be able to achieve a certain level until you fail a certain number of times.
If you're enjoying or learning from this podcast, please subscribe on both Spotify and Apple. A 5-star review would be a wonderful way to support us. If you have any questions, feel free to email us at the address mentioned in the description. This is Levi, signing off.